Bit of a question for you. Do you think ideas should be free? A new medical research model called open source drug discovery certainly does think so. This new system is based on sharing all information in the public domain in real time, and it might actually compete with the traditional pharmaceutical industry to deliver the drugs that we need. Associate Professor Matthew Todd is driving this radical notion in the medical field in order to cure malaria. He's the founder of the Open Source Malaria Consortium at the University of Sydney, and he's presenting the findings of his collaborative study at the International Congress for Tropical Medicine and Malaria in Brisbane this week. He's also joining me on the phone right now. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Now, when we talk about open source, a lot of us mostly think of that in terms of software and technology. How are you using open source principles in the discovery of new medicines for malaria?
Right, well, it's a similar idea. So that software that we use, you know, the Android operating system on our phones or Firefox or Chrome or, you know, Wikipedia, these things have been put together in a particular way, which is where everybody can see everything and you can look over the shoulder of other people and see what they're doing and adapt what they're doing for your own needs. And as a result, you get these products which are very robust and which are very quickly put together, which is a very, you know, by a very democratic sort of process. And these things are really astonishing things. I mean, they're very useful to everybody. Wikipedia is an amazing resource. So we're trying to do that, but with the discovery of medicines, using the same idea. So, I guess the key bit is that the lab notebooks, you know, where we record what we're doing, are freely available on the web in real time. That's the key thing.
And the idea is that this research would lead to sort of quicker and cheaper medicine and drugs?
Well, the idea is certainly that by coming together, you know, by sharing stuff more effectively, we should be able to get to new medicines quickly. You know, whether it's quicker is an interesting question. I think it's going to be quicker, but I can't prove it because it's never happened before. But I think certainly the idea at the end of it, ultimately, would be that the drug would be available inexpensively. Because, of course, the thing about working this way is you can't patent anything because everything goes into the public domain in real time. So, you know, we would expect, therefore, that if a medicine reached the market, that anybody could make it. So any generics company could make it. And the idea behind that really is to make sure that the medicine will be available for patients at a low cost, yeah.
Well, talking about patents, of course, I mean, pharmaceutical manufacturers and even medical device manufacturers would argue that the current patent system is absolutely crucial for stimulating research and development.
Yeah, well, they would say that, wouldn't they? So it's certainly a very effective model, absolutely. And we've had amazing medicines because of it, no question about it. But it's not necessary to have a patent to get a drug to market. It's one of these things that we've just all grown up with. The polio vaccine and penicillin and one of the leading antimalarials that's used around the world at the moment all reached the market with no patent protection. There's a new drug coming through for sleeping sickness, which also is not patented, not protected by any kind of intellectual property. So it's an interesting one. You know, totally possible that you can take a medicine to market without a patent. It's just extremely unusual.
So, look, I know that taking a drug to market is very, very expensive, and clinical trials are usually needed. Who pays for these in an open source model?
Well, certainly not the pharma industry, right? Mm. Because why would they do that? So you have to think about alternative sources, absolutely. And so the examples that I just quoted were funded in different ways. It's really interesting. The polio vaccine reached the market. The research that led to it was funded by a crowdfunding campaign before crowdfunding was a cool thing. Something called the March of Dimes in the U.S. People put little coins into receptacles in shops, and that money was collected up and was used to fund the research. And that was decades ago. Other things can fund this kind of stuff. I mean, philanthropists and public money itself can be used to do these things. If the drug is looking really good, then why wouldn't people fund those kinds of studies?
It's a very interesting way of looking at crowdfunding back in the day, I think. Mm. In terms of your own personal research, how many people do you have collaborating with you?
The open source model is interesting because people come and go. You know, people respond to project needs, and once they've done a bit of work, they sort of drift away. It's very sort of non-contractually obliging in that sense. So I think to date, about 100 or 150 people have contributed to open source malaria in various ways. Some people, you know, a lot, and some people a little bit, depending on what's needed. You know, we have a competition that's active at the moment to try and understand how the antimalarials that we're working on work. We have no idea how they're killing the parasite. It does it really well, but we have no idea how it works. So there's a competition that's active for that at the moment. So I think some people might come along and do some of that work, and then once it's done, they might leave. Certainly also the range of people is interesting. You know, we have professors in academia, we have pharmaceutical industry guys who are contributing as well, all the way down through to undergrads and even students from Sydney Brown School.
Look, do you think, and just quickly to end this up, do you think there are risks for researchers working in the open?
You know, I think there's risks to anything which is a little bit new like this. And it's important, for example, that people who contribute are fully attributed. You know, they're rewarded for that formally. It's important that students get research publications, for example. And so we have to make sure that if people do spend the time on these projects, that they get the recognition they deserve. It's pretty well worked out in software, but in science, it's a little bit newer. And so we just have to make sure we do that properly.
Yeah, look, Matthew, fascinating stuff. I look forward to seeing more from your research. Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you, Nick. Thanks.